Please be seated. God bless you. It's such a privilege to be in your midst this morning one more time. And I'm really glad I came to visit my friend, a friend of ours, Pastor Grace and I, Pastor Carl and his beloved wife. And we've been together since Thursday evening. Amen. They've been looking after me. They wanted to overspoil me. But thank God we're fasting. Amen. So that didn't give them the opportunity. Amen. They made effort. I really want to say thank you for having us there. Would you please help me love them this morning? Help me clap for the pastors. Thank you. Thank you. And all the leaders in the house, may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. I think we shall come in summer so that I can enjoy all the hospitality. Amen. St. Luke, the Gospel, chapter 9. St. Luke, the Gospel, chapter 9. Amen. My first time in your city and it's been awesome. The weather is excellent. You see, it depends on you. It depends on what I see, an excellent weather. Amen. I don't know about you. Amen. You call those things that be not. And that's all. It's an excellent weather. Very cold and very beautiful. Amen. When it is cold, germs can be there. Diseases disappear. Look at our neighbor. Say, it's an excellent weather. You see, what to say is what we get. If it's excellent weather, you are receiving excellent blessing this morning. It's an excellent weather. You came through. Glory to God. The Bible says in verse 10 to 17, St. Luke chapter 9. By the way, choir, awesome ministration this morning. Let me celebrate the choir, guys. Well done. Well done. I appreciate you. Well done. Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. The Bible says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that need healing. Whoever needs healing this morning, Jehovah will heal you. Yeah. Verse 12 says, and when they began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, wear away means when they began to get tired, the day was going. The 12 came to him and said, sir, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. Please observe the word desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat. Everyone connected to this house this year, you shall eat. Yeah. And they were all filled. There shall be fulfillment for you this year. Yeah. The Bible says, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. Hallelujah. 12 baskets. Now, we will not do a lot of preaching. I want to just observe this morning. Verse 9 says, disciples returned and told him all they had done. So whenever you're working with people, there is need for feedback and accountability. So when you're sent on an errand, you should come back and give report. All right? And then the Bible says, he, Jesus Christ, took them and went privately to a desert place. Now, that's my concern. I thought that if somebody had gone on errand and is back, you should take him to a hotel, a place to go and rest, isn't it? Perhaps a restaurant. But it took them to a desert place. Somebody shout, desert place. And then the Bible says something happened. The people in the city left the city. When they knew it, what did they do? They followed him. So your location is not the problem. It is who is in you that matters. When you have what it takes, people will live everywhere to find you. I declare upon Wisdom Assembly, your light will shine. So they followed him, and then he received them and began to preach. And then healed everybody that needed healing. And then, cut a long story short, the disciples came back in verse 12. Say, sir, these people are tired. They need to eat. There are many of them, but we're in a desert place. Somebody shout, desert place. Now, so they were in a desert place. They are saying the obvious. There's no food here. We can't buy food in this place. Jesus, let them go away. But he told them, give them something to eat. When the story was done, the Bible says, after feeding them, they had leftovers. This year, I pray for somebody financially. You will have leftovers in Jesus' name. The days of you expending all your finances are over in the name of Jesus Christ. Disease of, I don't know what you call in America, overdraft facilities, credit is over in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? When all is said and done, I bring a message, a prophetic word. I'm not here to preach a sermon. I'm here to bring a prophetic word to you. You are going to have leftover this year in Jesus' name. I want to speak to you briefly on possibilities in your desert. There are possibilities where in my desert. Say it again. There are possibilities in my desert. Like you may say again, there are possibilities in my desert. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are a few things about God that I want to start with. Number one, your God is omniscient. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. There's nothing that God doesn't know. There's nothing that can go beyond your God. So God knew you before you were made. He knows how you traveled to America. He knows how you got to university. He knows everything about you. There is no mistake in your God. He's an omniscient God. He knows all things. Glory be to God. Number two, God works in times and seasons. And the problem with this time and season is that men do not know the time and season. Only God does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 and 2. Bible says, but of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. He has hidden that thing to himself. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 14 talks about God and time and season. And in verse 14, it says he makes all things beautiful in his time. Number three, very quickly, I'm going to rush through this. God is always interested in the advancement of the kingdom of God. God's primary interest, ladies and gentlemen, is the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus came to teach us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. He says, after this manner, pray ye therefore, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, that will be done in earth as is in heaven. So God is always interested in advancing his kingdom. Now, no matter what happens around you, no matter who falls, who fails, who rises up, the kingdom of God must make progress. And I'm glad to announce to you, if you are part of the kingdom, then you will make progress in Jesus' name. In this particular story, the story before, the context is that Herod had already called the head of John the Baptist. And he began to hear that there is healing taking place in verse 7 and 9. 7 to 9, healing is taking place. So he began to ask, wait a minute, had beheaded John in verse 9, has he risen again? Because you see, the enemy thinks that if he afflicts you in certain way, the end of the kingdom has come. But no, sir. No matter what is lost, the kingdom of God must advance. So he thought he had closed the move. He had stopped the revival. There was not going to be no church anymore. But little did he know that the fact that you killed John has not stopped what's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, God can move in shifting things. Possibilities in your desert. Sometime before you go to the next level, hear me, you may have to go through your desert place. Recognize, sir, that your next instruction may be given to you where? In your desert place. Now, this is important this morning. What is a desert? A desert is a place where little or no form of life exists. A barren place, a wasteland, an arid land. Ladies and gentlemen, a place that does not look like other people, other places. A desert land is a place that many people would not like to be because it doesn't look attractive. Nobody wants to live in desert. But sir, I believe there are possibilities in our desert. In fact, it's so important that, ladies and gentlemen, when God wants to change your life, sometimes he takes you to a desert place. I'll jump ahead and come back to it. When Moses' life was going to change, it didn't change in the city. It was in desert place. Look at him and say, there are possibilities in my desert. I don't know what's your own desert situation this morning, but that's what God has sent me to this place. To tell you there are possibilities in your desert. Oh, it may look bad. It may look rough. It may look crazy. But guess what? There are possibilities in that desert. If you are going to succeed this year, and you must, because the Bible, your word is, I will succeed, then you must begin to see as God sees. That there are possibilities in my desert. There are possibilities in your city. There are possibilities in your state. There are possibilities in your neighborhood. There are possibilities where you are working. Somebody shout, there are possibilities. They came to him and said, sir, the people need food to eat. Naturally, by human understanding, he should send them to another place. Let's go buy them food. But he said, no. Keep them where they are. Why? You guys will see possibilities today. Let me give you 5 things quickly, and then we'll pray. It is possible to thrive in the desert of life. I'd like you to please settle that in your heart. What do I say? It is possible to thrive in the desert of life. In other words, how do you know the power of God if you are where everybody is? Come on. But it is more exciting to see a plant grow in the desert than to see it grow in the good land. In Genesis chapter 13, the Bible said to us from verse 14, when Lot had left Abram and had gone, he had taken the place that was well watered. Abram had all the desert left. God told him, lift up your eyes. Look northward, southward, eastward, westward. As far as you can see, I'm going to give to you, and you will here prosper. I prophesy over somebody this year. You will thrive. Amen. Come on, I say you will thrive. Amen. You will thrive in this city. You will thrive in this land. You will thrive in this nation. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, I will thrive. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 9 and 10. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Verse 10. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. How do you build towers in a desert place? Does somebody understand? Desert is so dry. Nothing works there. People run away from it. But God told me to announce to Wisdom Assembly, there are possibilities in that desert. Uzziah built towers in the desert. He digged many wells, for he had much cattle. How can you have much cattle in the desert? Both in the low country, in the plains, husbandmen also, vine dressers also. Come on, guys. This man succeeded in the desert. Lift up us and say, in the name of Jesus, I shall thrive in this desert. In the name of Jesus, I will thrive. Others may have thrown the towel, but I will thrive. Others may throw in the towel, but I will thrive. I pray for somebody here. Your career will thrive. Your business will thrive. Your home will thrive. Your marriage will thrive. Your church will thrive. Your ministry will thrive. In the name of Jesus. Number two, very quickly. Let me behave. Number two, it is possible to encounter Jesus even in your desert situation. Sir, it is not who you know, sir. Or rather, it's not where you are located. It is who is inside of you. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you carry Christ, everything responds to you. I'm telling you, sir, everything responds to you. You can be in the greatest city and still be hungry. But if you carry Christ, you can be in the desert of life and still function. A magnet does not struggle to attract metal. Put the magnet in desert. Put inside River Jordan. Put in Atlantic Ocean. Metal will still come. Why? It is what it's made of. I pray for you today. May Christ become strong in you. May the Holy Ghost become strong in you. May his power become strong in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Possible to encounter Jesus even in your desert situation. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1 to 3. Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So God has a mountain in the desert. I thought we were supposed to go to Jerusalem and worship him. Or go to Bethlehem. But he had a mountain in the desert. I pray for somebody in this city. May God open your eyes. Maribo Zaketa Bagadaya. You did not make a mistake coming to this house. You didn't make a mistake coming to this city. The mountain of God is here. The mountain of God is in this land. You are going to locate that mountain. You will walk with that mountain. You will step on that mountain. You will hear the voice of the Lord. Your story will change forever. In the name of Jesus, what was not working shall begin to work. When men say there is no way, there shall be way for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, things will change. Things will change. Things will change. Things will change in the name of Jesus Christ. He will give you a new story. He will give you a new song in the name of Jesus Christ. There shall be a turnaround. Oh, Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Sir, in the desert. Oh. Whenever God wants to change your story, he will give you an encounter in your desert. Moses had three encounters in that passage, very quickly. Number one, he had what I call a sight encounter. He saw what he had never seen before. I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. This year, you will have a sight encounter. Your eyes shall be open, sir. You will see what you have never seen before. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's a little message, but I feel like saying it to you. Number two, he had what I call a sound encounter. He had what he had never had before. This year, you will hear the word of faith. You will hear the voice of God. You will hear instruction from heaven. You will hear what you have never had before. In the name of Jesus Christ. Says he saw the consuming fire came into the bush, restricted himself, and the bush didn't get burnt. And then number three, he had what I call a sign encounter. God gave him a sign. Throw your rod on the ground. It became a serpent. This year, God will give you a token. He will give you a sign that you are in the right place. You are in the right city. I prophesy over you. Before the end of this month, you will see a sign from above. A sign from above. A sign from above. In your career, in your ministry, in your prayer life, in the name of Jesus Christ, there shall be a sign. There shall be a sign in the name of Jesus. Moses forgotten for 40 years. But one day, he had strange encounter, three things, and his story changed forever. Mazagadabaha. I pray for someone here, under the sound of my voice, long-standing problem, there shall be a resolution this month. It will not follow you to next quarter. In the name of Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. We turn things around for you. We turn things around for you. There is a release now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God will step in. He will step in. He will step in. In the name of Jesus. How do you explain a man who is working for his father-in-law? So they gave him a wife. They also gave him money to eat. Can you imagine? He was a shadow of himself. He was a forgotten man. He has lost his vision. But as he kept going, singing, Ki sera sera, whatever we be, we be. God showed up in his desert and said, son, it's not Ki sera sera. We are about to turn your station around. You are waiting for too long. The vision is not yet dead. It shall yet come to pass. In the name of Jesus. The vision will come to pass. Come on, shout, and we encounter Jesus. Listen to me. Once you encounter him, things change. In that desert, what will you do? You will encounter Jesus. Ah, Lord help me. Number three, let me give you one or two more. I feel like preaching, but I also want to pass across my message. Number three, it is possible to show care even in the desert. Where things look insufficient, and I'm going somewhere this morning. Insufficient resources, you can still show care. Luke chapter 9, verse 12, the Bible says, when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in the desert place. Stop stating the obvious. You see, when God wants to move in a strange way, he does not do with you the way he does with others. Why? So that he alone can take the glory. Question is this, why didn't he move them to Bethesda? After all, they are near the place. Why did he take them to another town? But he said, no, guys, let's go to desert place. Somebody shout desert place. In other words, let's go to a place that the sun is hot. Go to a place that the weather is very cold. The weather is abnormal. Let's go to a desert place where things are not functioning like other places. Let's go to a desert place where we don't know anybody. Let's go to a desert place where nobody will say we are the one that made him rich. Disciples say, sir, we know you behave strangely. But we're in a desert place. These people are many. 5,000 men. We haven't counted the women. We haven't counted the children. Please let them go. Jesus told them something. What this now? He says in verse 13, give ye them to eat. God never speaks if he has not sorted it out before. Psalm 62 verse 11. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard. The power belongeth to God. Pastor Carr, give ye them to eat. Wisdom Assembly, sort out this city. Give them to eat. Oh, but we have no money. Give them to eat. We have no resources. Give them to eat. We don't have finances. Give them to eat. We don't have what to take. Build houses. Plant vineyard. Do businesses. Eat them and give to others. How can we give them to eat? Lord, help me this morning. He says, give ye them to eat. In other words, I don't care what you have. Philip says, sir, even if we have 200 denarii, we can't buy food. Give ye them to eat. You know why? Known unto the Lord are all his works. From the foundations of the earth. Nothing can be added to it or taken away from it that men may fear before him. Give ye them to eat. Whenever God speaks to you, he does not speak on what is in your pocket. He speaks based on what he has placed inside of you. He speaks based on the ability and capacity he invested in you. In Judges chapter 6, he saw Gideon and said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, no, sir, I am a poor man. My family is poor. God said, no, I have ordained you to go and deliver people. Give you them to eat. There is an instruction inside of you. There's a capacity inside of you. There's an ability inside of you. There is a grace inside of you. God will never make a demand on you on what he has not placed in you. Give you them to eat. God will never tell you to do something he hasn't prepared you to handle. No temptation has come to man except that is common. With it, you provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Give ye them to eat. You know what it means? I feel like, something is turning me away from that. Give ye them to eat means, go and sort out the problem. Sir, we can't handle it. There's no money. We can't go and buy anything. It's late. Give ye them to eat. Listen to me. Before that problem started in your life, God has given you a solution. Give ye them to eat. 2 Kings chapter 4, the wife of the sons of prophets, they had come to take her sons. Creditors had come. Elisha said, there's something in your house. See, I have nothing. There's something in your house. There is something, God. He said, there's nothing. After searching, he said, I have a little. He said, that's enough. Give them to it. Preach the gospel. Love the city. Bless the city. My God, pray for the city. Evangelize the city. Love everyone that comes around you. Why? You are a solution provider. Can I announce to you who you are? You are a solution provider to this city. You carry the anointing of God upon this city. There's a mantle on your life.
Listen to me, no matter what comes across you, you will solve the problem in Jesus' name. Before the problem started, God created you as the solution. That's why you have come to this city. That's why you're in this land. Give you them to eat.
He didn't say, well, what's the budget? I wish I was talking to leaders here. Never ever look at your pocket to work with God. Your pocket is too small to work with God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's all. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not in your pocket. Please, can I tell somebody something? Every time they come here to say, we are going to do something financially, never look at your bank account. Look unto God who is calling for it. He said, give you them to it. He himself knew what he would do. He wasn't waiting on them to solve the problem. He knew what he would do. He just wanted them to participate in the miracle. Can I announce to you this morning, church? God only wants you to participate in the miracle. He has provided the way of escape already. The next time they call you from your nation, Jamaica, Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe, wherever you come from, you will not be afraid to receive their phone call anymore. I'm telling you, I met a man many years ago. He was driving me. And he was talking on the phone. Everything was beautiful. Then all of a sudden, one phone call came in. He said, hello, hello. Then I said, hello, hello, hello. And he talked. I said, sir, what happened? He said, they've come again. So I had to say hello. I said, no, no, no more will you say that. I lay hands on him in the name of the Lord. When they call you, you shall be willing to receive their phone call. You will have resources. I say, somebody, you will have resources. God will bless your hands. He will bless the work of your hands. There shall be resources in your life. You will have what to give them. You will have what to say to them. In the name of Jesus. Do you know what it means to give them to it? That means God is saying, when somebody meets you and say, I am sick, you will be able to lay hands and they shall be healed in Jesus' name. When someone comes and say, I can't pass my exam, you will lay hands and wisdom will come. Why? There is solution in you. Sharp your neighbor, say, there's solution in you. The solution, you give them to it. Mr. Thomas would have showed up and said, sir, we know you are a strange man, but you know, this thing, we need to apply wisdom. When people want to apply wisdom, I like to run away from them because they become natural when we are supposed to be spiritual. Give your neighbor a holy elbow, say, be spiritual, be spiritual. A holy elbow, not a nasty one. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he said, give it them to eat. And they said, as human beings, watch it now, verse 13. We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Except we should go and buy meat for all these people. For they were about 5,000 men. And they said to disciples, he said to them, make them sit down by 50s in a company. Glory be to God. I'm leaving my note to conclude this. It is possible to have a promise in your desert. To get out of your desert, what do you need? A promise. That's all. He has promised he will never fail. How we honor him. How we. Come on. He has promised he will never fail. He's faithful. He's forever. Come on. Is forevermore. A promise in your desert is all you need. When God speaks, it's enough to take to bank. He told them in verse 13, give ye them to eat. They said, we have no more but 5 loaves. He couldn't care what they had. All he said is, give ye them to eat. Ladies and gentlemen, to succeed this year, and you will, all you need is a promise from the Lord. If you can find the word, if you can find the promise, it's enough for you to succeed. In Luke chapter 5, the Bible says, Peter had fish all night. He caught nothing. Jesus says, launch out your boat and let down your net. He says, sir, you are not a fisherman. You don't understand. He said, but add your word. That's all you need. There's a promise. There's a promise upon this house. Trust me. Your pastor didn't come here to just pastor. There's a promise. God told him, come. I'm sure, I don't know if you have seen a lot of us that are his colleagues and friends. God sent him here because of you. That's the reality. He sent him here. Why? Because of you. There's a promise. There's a promise. Psalm 89 verse 34. The Lord says, I will not alter the thing that's gone out of my mouth. Neither will I break my covenant. There's a promise. Psalm 119 verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. There's a promise. Psalm 138 verse 2. He has magnified his word above his name. There's a promise. Once he has spoken it, it's going to be done. There's a promise. God can never deny himself. He can never lie. Listen to me. Your promise is as good, better than the banker's draft. So when I don't know what to do, I take the promise to God. Lord, you said in 1905, this is what you said. In 1925, this is what you said. In 1945, this is what you said. Listen, you belong to a covenant church. The person who had the covenant is dead. Covenant can't be broken. I don't know who you are in this church. And things look bleak and tough for you. Have you found the promise of God? Hold on to it. Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. God gave him 7 promises at the age of 75. And the man began to obey God. 24 years later, no performance. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Bible says, and God said to Abraham, when he was 99 years old, walk before me and be thou perfect. I'm your exceeding reward. God said, I am your God. I gave you promise. I will still bring it to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, there can be a promise in your desert. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 to 4. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Amen. I thought I'm hearing amen in this church. Kansas City, Missouri State shall be glad for Wisdom Assembly. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly. Rejoice with joy and singing. Glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confound the feebleness. Say ye children of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and he will save you. It's a promise in your desert. There's a promise. Can I tell you the promise I see over your church? Guys, no matter what you think, no matter where you are, there's a promise. Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me show you one of the promises. This is the thing that got me going. When you don't know what to do. In verse 4, he says, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, Jeremiah 29, 4, to all that are carried away captives, who have come to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Ah, Lord, what are you saying? Jerusalem is the place of bread. Babylon is the world power. Who are caught to be carried away from their countries to United States? Who likes cold? Don't deceive yourself. Who loves cold? You love minus 9. You love it. Anybody? You love minus 10, minus 20. You love it. Fantastic. Only one person loves cold. Praise God. Who else loves cold? You prefer cold to summer. Who prefers cold to summer? You prefer cold to summer. Wonderful. So you are here permanently. You are here permanently. Amen. So we pray for you in Jesus' name. We just remain in the cold. Amen. Now, most people will probably prefer to stay in the Bahamas somewhere where they can bask in the sun. But God says, no, I brought you to the cold place. He said, when you get there, you might think you came looking for a job. You came because you want. No, God says, I brought you. I caused you to be carried away. Look at what you are going to do in this land. Build ye houses. I brought the word for your church. Build ye houses. What else will you do? Dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. You will own businesses in this land. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters. And some people say, I will soon relocate, retire. You are joking. Read the Bible. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. You know, I met many people in the UK many years ago. When they came, say, after 5 years, I'm going. 10 years. When I saw the scripture, I began to read them. You are joking. No? 25 years, they are still there. Their children are getting married now. I pray for you will not die before your children do well. Watch it. It says, give your daughters to husbands, that they too may bear sons and daughters. My God, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Somebody shout, I will not diminish. 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 Verse 7 says, seek the peace of the city. we have caused it to be carried away captives. Pray unto the Lord for it. Why? For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. When I discovered this, I prayed with my life for United Kingdom when I was living there. Lord, you must bless London. Bible says, as I keep praying for it, I will keep increasing. If you have never been interceding for your city, start from today. There are possibilities in your desert. Say, there are possibilities in your desert. There are possibilities in your desert. One more and then we'll pray. It is possible to experience unusual miracles in your desert. What do I say? It's possible to experience unusual miracles in your desert. And I'll conclude on this. In Luke chapter 9, verse 14 to 17, the Bible says, this man said, sir, he said, we'll go and buy. Except somebody sends us money from somewhere. It cannot happen. Unless we get sponsors somewhere, it cannot be. The Lord is saying, no, I'm sufficient for you. Amen. Bible says, for there were about 5,000 men. They said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them sit down. They took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Looking to heaven, he blessed them and break and gave. And they did it. Ladies and gentlemen, there are possibilities of miracles unusually in your desert. The first thing that needs to happen is this. I wish I had time. Put your life in order. He told them, make them sit out in 50s. Success is yours this year. Amen. But sir, bring order to your life. Bring order to your finances. Bring order to your worship. Bring order to your relationship with God. Bring order to your marriage. Bring order, order. 1 Corinthians chapter 40. He said, let everything be done decently and in order. God blesses orderliness. Bring order. Say them, sit down. Why? Issue of supply was a foregone conclusion. He did not want them to stampede, to rush the food, because the food was going to be available anyway. The question is this. Between when and when did the food multiply? If you are going to succeed this year, and you must, what's the first thing you must do? Bring order. Number two, remove small-mindedness. You know when he told them, we are not going to buy food, give them to it. He was telling them, take away small-mindedness. Never think I perform only based on what you have. Some people think if they don't pay tithe in church, God, church won't run. You are joking. You are too small to help God. When you didn't pay, didn't you run church? Sorry, I'm not trying to offend you. Just the way I talk, forgive me. I can't be that way. I mean, come on. When you didn't give, did you not run church? Even when you stop giving, we'll still run and we'll do better. So don't ever think you are something special, you know. If I give my time, there's nothing special about you. It's just an opportunity. Look at what he told them. He said, sit down. Remove small-mindedness. Oh, we need 2 million. They've come to kill us. No, we want to help you. They are not killing anybody. Remove small-mindedness. You know why? What God wants to do with you, you must take it out. I want to challenge you from today. When you go through your city, begin to look at buildings and say, this is mine very shortly. I'm going to be in charge of this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Until you say it, you cannot see it. When you get to a place, look at it. Okay, I like this place actually. We can have fellowship here on a Wednesday. We can have fellowship on a Sunday. Begin to declare those things that you believe the word. God wants to take away small-mindedness. Small-mindedness. Say, let them sit down. Number three, want to take away from them poverty mentality. No poor people rush for food. And they always rush. But if, keep looking straight. We're not talking about you. But when you see dignified people, you know, you eat staccatoically. You eat in a majestic way, as if you can't even swallow food at all. But poor people, my God, So you say, no, let's remove small-mindedness, remove poverty mentality. Sit down. Dignify the people and then take food to them. And as they took, the thing began to multiply. Ladies and gentlemen, this year, as you bear what you have, there shall be multiplication. The Bible says they multiplied. And then what then happened? They had 12 baskets left. I want to challenge you this morning. Look at your life. See your best last year. I pray for you, it shall be your least this year. Pastor Carl is my friend, so I'm free to talk on his altar. First time, You know the way I do my finances? Very strange. I learned something years ago. The amount of money I need in any year, I calculate what I need monthly. I pay the tithe in December before January starts. Why? Psalm 52 verse 9. I will praise you, Lord, because you have done it. So I sought him out ahead before I even get there. And it has never failed. Take away small-mindedness. Ladies and gentlemen, what God has for you is bigger than you can imagine. He told them, let them sit down. And they sat down. He blessed the food and gave to them. Bible says, as they began to give them, people started eating. There was no rushing. It was enough. They even had leftover. 12 baskets left. My God, this year, there shall be surplus in your life. Rise on your feet with me.